Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Erev and Daf Ayin Tes. We left off on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We have the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Just as a reminder, on Thursday and Friday this week, the Daf Shir is going to start 5 minutes later because of the later time for Shachris. So 5 minutes later on Thursday and Friday. And again, anyone who wants to be in our Daf Yomi WhatsApp chat, what should I tell them to do? Just put your number in the chat in the Zoom. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and also by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer in honor of the yard site of his father, Hachaver Naftali Ben Meir Zichrono Livracha, whose yard site is today. The Neshama Shavan Aliyah. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So the Mishnah is going to talk about if you have not a wall between two chatzeros, but what if you have a ditch between two chatzeros? When can the two chatzeros join together in an eruv? And when are they separate and they have to have independent Eruvin? We're also going to talk about joining the two chatzeros with a bridge and connecting two ledges with a bridge that makes them into one. The Gemara is going to talk about, do we automatically assume that if you have stones or dirt that are filling up a ditch, that it's automatically batel? And we can compare it to other areas of halacha where stones or dirt fill a place, and do we assume that it's automatically batel? We're going to ask a stira, and we're going to have three answers to that stira. And then the Gemara is going to discuss some details about the bridge, about a plank that connects the two sides of a ditch, or the two ledges, the two balconies off of homes. Then the Mishnah Amud Aleph is going to discuss a haystack between chatzeros. The difference between dirt versus a haystack is that animals are eating from a haystack. So to what level are we concerned that the haystack is going to be eaten so much from that it's not going to be there anymore? And we'll compare this to another inyan relating to a haystack and a ruvei chatzeros. Then the Mishnah Amud Beis is going to talk about how to make a shituvei mavuos, just what the procedure is for a shituvei mavuos. And then after the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to quote four different teachings of the Sabi de Pumbedisa, one of which has to do with our Masechta and our Mishnah, and then the other three we throw in for, because we're just mentioning things that the Sabi de Pumbedisa had to teach us. So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Charech Mei Shtei Chatzeros, if you have a ditch in the ground between two Chatzeros, so Amuk Asar V'Rochav Arba'a, if it's 10 Tvachim deep and it's 4 Tvachim wide and it runs the full length of the space between the two Chatzeros, Marvin Shtayim Ve'in Marvin Echad, that divides the two Chatzeros, and therefore they can only make two independent Eruvin. They cannot be Ma'ariv together. It has to Dafka be those measurements. If it's not 10 Tvachim deep or it's not 4 Tvachim wide, then the two Chatzeros could be Ma'ariv together. And the reason that it has to be 10 Tvachim deep is because a Mechitza, Pachs Me'asara, that's the definition of a Mechitza. So once you have a Mechitza that's 10 Tvachim deep, we assume good Asik, and that's a Mechitza that goes all the way up and continues to divide the Chatzeros. The Rashi explains that why Dafka 4 Tvachim wide. So Rashi writes, Dibra Maschel V'Rachav, that if it's not 4 Tvachim wide, then it's easier to walk right over it. And therefore, it's not going to be a Mechitza that really divides the Chatzeros. Chacham Tzvi explains in the Tshuva that if it's easy to walk right over it, so then it's a Mevatel, the Mechitzos, the Psia, the fact that people could just walk right there, right over it, is Mevatel the Shem Mechitza. Chaznish thinks that no, there's a different reason that you need 4 Tvachim of width. Not because it's easy to walk over it when it's less than 4 Tvachim of width, but the Mechitza is only Mechitza if it's Makif or Makom, if it surrounds, if it's a Mechitza for a place. So the two Mechitzos are the two sides of the ditch have to be covering something. They have to be surrounding an area. So it's got to be a 4 Tvachim area in between those Mechitzos. If there isn't a 4 Tvachim area between the Mechitzos, it's a chisaron in the Mechitzos, says the Chazon Ish. Says the Mishnah Vayter, v'afilu mole kasho teven, even if you fill up that ditch with kash or teven, with straw, it's not considered to be closed off, and the ditch is still mafsik between the two chatzeros. But mali afar tzoros ma'arvin echad vein ma'arvin shnayim. But if you fill it with rocks, with pebbles, with dirt, with those kinds of things, then it's going to be considered as if it's totally closed off, and then you could make one eruv, and you're not allowed to make two eruvin because there's no longer a mechitza between them. Rashi explains, what is it about kashu tevin that it's not considered to be closed off because a person is not mevatel it there, because eventually the person is going to want to access the straw, he's going to want to use the straw. Rabbi Yohanan explains that since Tevin and Kash are ra'ui for achilas behema, people typically wouldn't leave it in the ditch. So the Gemara is going to discuss what kind of Kashu Tevin. Did you put it there stam? Did you put it there dafka to leave it there? Did you put it there dafka not to leave it there? The Tosus, however, points out that it must be talking about Kashu Tevin that you're allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos. But if you filled it with Kashu Tevin that you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos, like you're miyachid the Tevin or the Kash to make bricks with, where it's also to be metaltal on Shabbos, would be a violation of Mutzah, that would be a stima of the Charetz. That actually would close off the Charetz. We'll see some details relating to that in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah Vayter, Naslam Neser Shurach Varba Tvachim, if you have a board that's four Tvachim wide, that you use as a bridge to bridge the gap between the two Chatzeros, or if you have two ledges off of two balconies off the sides of houses, so Ma'arvin Shnayim, Ve'imratzu Ma'arvin Echad, Pachz Mikan Ma'arvin Shnayim, Ve'ein Ma'arvin Echad. So if you have a Nesa that's a Rachav Arba Tvachim, or you have two balconies that are Zukana Gazu, and each one of those Zustraus has people that live in that home that's connected to that balcony, and you connect those balconies with a four Tefach plank, so that serves as a Pesach between those two Gzustros and the members of those two homes, or the two Chatzeros that are connected by this balcony, can make separate Eruvin. Or if they want, they could be married yachad. They could be married together because they are connected through this plank. But if the plank is less than four tefachim wide, if the bridge is less than four tefachim wide, then it's not really a connector. They can only be ma'ariv shnayim. They're not able to be ma'ariv. They're not able to be ma'ariv echad. So says the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, "V'tevin lo chayitz." Wait a second. If tevin that you plan on removing is not going to be chotzeitz to close off to be considered a closing off of the ditch, va'anan t'nan. But didn't we learn in the Mishnah that matbein shebein shtei chatzeros? If you have a pile of tevin between two chatzeros, gavoa asar tefachim ma'arvin shayim ve'in ma'arvin echad, we assume that that's a real wall. It's a real mechitza, and therefore the two chatzeros have to make separate eruvin. They cannot make the same eruvin. We don't say, oh no, but you're going to remove that tevet ultimately, and therefore it's not a real wall. You see, if it counts as a real wall, why can't it count as that which closes off the ditch? So, no, when it comes to what's considered a mechitza, even the tevin is considered a mechitza, and even though one day you're going to remove it, so long as it's still there, it's mafsik between the two chatzeros, and it counts as a chatzitza. By mechitza, it doesn't really matter whether you're going to leave it there, as long as physically right now you have a mechitza. By chatzitza, it matters whether you're going to leave it there. Avalinian chatzitza, to consider the tevin as if it's chotzeit in the airspace of the charetz, and to be considered that the charetz is now filled in. So then, he bat lechayetz, he lo bat lechayetz. Only if you're actually mevatel it there is it going to be chotzeit, and if it's and it's considered to like it's closing off the ditch. But if you're not mevatel it there, we do not consider it like it's closing off the ditch. Rashi Maseches Sukkah on Davdal Ramal writes, as far as the sukkah is concerned, that whenever you say you're not going to remove the tevin and the offer for kol shivas yimei achag, that's considered that you're mevatel it there. That's considered a bittel in order to change the dimensions of the sukkah, because that's the first sugya masecha sukkah is sukkah lamal mechav amas pasul according machlok stram, but lamal mechav amas pasul lamatvei asar tzvachim. So what if you have a sukkah lamal mechav amas, but you throw a bunch of straw on the floor, and now the floor has been raised to within 20 amos of the sukkah? So do we assume that you're mevatel all that tevin that you threw on the floor? So that's what we say, that if you say that you're not going to remove it for the whole 7 days of Sukkot, you're being mevatel there for the 7 days of Sukkot, then it is batel, and it does create a higher floor level. And that's what the Rush writes as well. And he compares the dinim of Shabbos to the dinim of Sukkah, that lenient Sukkah, as long as you don't want to remove it, kol yimei achag, that's called the bittel, says the Rush. So to lenient Shabbos, so long as you don't plan on removing it all of Shabbos, that's considered a bittel. Yeah, you may want to remove it afterwards, but as long as you're mevatelit there for the entirety of Shabbos, it's considered to be that you're mevatelit. The Ritva, however, disagrees. He said that when we say bittel, it means that you don't want to ever remove it from there. And the Ritva, the Rush quotes such a day in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, in the name of the Avia Ezri, in Ramah, in Shulchan Aruch, in Shinun Ches, we quote both deos. What does it mean that you're being mevatelit there? Does it just mean you're being mevatel it there for Shabbos, and that's what fills in the charetz? Or does it mean that you're being mevatel it there forever, and that's what's going to fill in the charetz? Okay, male afra, we said that if you fill in the ditch with dirt, with rocks, then for sure that fills in the charetz, and it's one big chatzer now. The two sides of that ditch are fully connected with each other. They're no longer separated by the ditch in the ground. So from the Mishnah, it sounds like you fill it with rocks or pebbles, they make one Eruv, and the Mishnah didn't distinguish what you were planning to, with those rocks and those pebbles. Sounds like Vafil B'Stama, that even if you put it there Stam, and we don't know if you ever plan on removing them. But don't we have a Mishnah Maseches Olos, Bayis Shemelo Tevin Otsoros, if you have a Bayis that has a mace in it, or Tumas mace in the house, and then you fill the house with Tevin Otsoros, meaning the Halacha by Tumas mace is very important to know how much airspace there is in the house. If you have a tefach of airspace above the mace in the house, then the tumas stops at the roof, and anyone who flies over the house is not going to be tamei. And if you're standing next to the mace in the house, then you are tamei. The tumah fills the inside of the house and does not go through the roof. But if you don't have a tefach of airspace and the mace is just closed off in the house, there's no air between the mace and the roof, then the tumah goes bokas va'ola ad the rakia. The tumah goes straight through the roof and goes up, but does not expand because he doesn't have an ol over him, so it won't expand to that which is next to him. So what if a mace is in the house, and then you throw in a bunch of straw or a bunch of rocks into the house, ubitlo, and then you're mevatel there, batel. So then it's totally batel, it's considered as if there's no airspace in the house. But it sounds from that Mishnah, yeah, bitlo in, lo bitlo lo, only if you're actually mevatel there, but if you just put it there stam, we do not assume that it's batel. So you see that tzroros are not batel wherever you put them, unless you're mevatel them beferish. But if you didn't explicitly say that you're being mevatel them, and we don't know what your plans are, we don't assume that they're batel. So how can the Mishnah say that Ofer and Tzroros, even bestam, you put them in the charetz bestam, they're going to be batel? Three answers. Answer number one, Amrav Huna, Mantana Alos Rabbi Yossi. It must be that it's a machlokas tanaim, and I don't know, let's say it's Rabbi Yossi who taught the Mishnah in Alos. So it's a little bit strange that we're just choosing a name out of a hat, it sounds like. So we'll see that in a second. So says the Gemara, E Rabbi Yossi, Im Chashvinilei. That's the worst name to choose to attribute the Mishnah in Alos to, because Rabbi Yossi says the exact opposite. The Tanya, because you have a bright said that Rabbi Yossi Omer, that if you have a house that has Tumah in it, Teven ve'ein also lafnoso hareu kistam aser kistam afar. That if you have teven that you're not planning on removing, that is the same din of stam afar. That meaning of afar that we don't know what your plans are, and therefore ubatel. The teven is going to be batel. But afar va'asel lafnoso, if you have dirt, even if you that you are planning on removing, hareu kistam teven. That's like stam teven velo batel, and therefore even the dirt in that case will not be batel. But what do you see? That Rabbi Yossi holds that dirt that stam, that we don't know what you plan on doing with or not, well, what you plan on doing, whether you plan on removing it or not, is batel. So don't tell me the Mishnah in Alos, which says that you have to actively be mevatelit, is going like Rabbi Yossi. We see Rabbi Yossi says exactly against the Mishnah in Alos. Rabbi Yossi is the one that says that even if you put the dirt there stam, it's batel. You don't have to actively say you're being mevatelit. So says, no, what we meant is Elam Ravasi Mantana Erivin Rabbi Yossi. You're right, it's a machlokas tanaim. The Tana, the our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi. But Eina Chinami, the Mishnah in Erevin, is the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yossi, but it's a machlokas tanaim. So that's what both Rashi and Tosfos point out. When the Gemara initially just tried to say, yeah, the Mishnah null is Rabbi Yossi, they must have had a tradition that there's a machlokas tanaim and Rabbi Yossi is one of the tanaim. And they just didn't know which side Rabbi Yossi fell on. So he said, oh, it must be that Rabbi Yossi is the author of the Mishnah in Alos. And then they said, no, you got part of the tradition correct. Rabbi Yossi is against the Mishnah in Alos. So yes, it is a machlokas tanaim. Yes, Rabbi Yossi is involved. You just got Rabbi Yossi on the wrong side. So anyway, that's answer number one. We have a steer between the Mishnah Erev and the Mishnah Alos. Do we assume stam afar that you're being mevatel there, or do we not assume you're being mevatel there? So we answer machlokas tanaim. Answer number two: Rav Huna b'Rav Shua Amar Tuma Ashabis Karamas Karamas Hana Chisur Shabbos Tafilu Arniki Nami Mevatel Linish. You can't ask a steer between the halachos of bittel with regard to Shabbos and the halachos of bittel with regard to Tuma, that which you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos is batal legabei Shabbos, and therefore it's batal for, just like it's batal as far as you're not allowed to use it, it's batal for all Shabbos related issues. So you could have a wallet full of money, and since you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos, it's batal in its place that wherever you leave it for the whole Shabbos. So too dirt that you're not allowed to be metaltal on Shabbos because it's muktza. Even if we don't know what your plans are with that dirt, if you plan on leaving it there, it's butl as far as Shabbos is concerned. But Tevin, which is a Meichel Behema, you're allowed to move on Shabbos, and that's why it's not butl on Shabbos. But when it comes to Tumah, there are no dinim of muktza. So that's why when it comes to Tumah, the halachos are going to be different. The according to this, even dirt that's asal lufnoso is batal l'dinei Shabbos. Meaning, even dirt that you do plan on removing, you're not going to remove it on Shabbos because it's muktza, and that's enough to say that it's batal. So the Rush says we see a raya from here that something that's nisbatel only for Shabbos is considered bittel, that you don't need bittel yolim. Remember we had that machlokas the Rush quoted. Do you need to be mbatel it only for Shabbos, or do you need to be mbatel it forever? This line of Gemara tells us you only need to be mvatel it for Shabbos, because we're comparing it to an arniki. We're saying that a wallet is considered batel. A wallet you're going to take as soon as Shabbos is over. And we're saying that's the same as dirt. So even dirt that you do want to move after Shabbos, so is still considered batel for the whole Shabbos. However, the Ritva in Masechta Sukkah says that something that you're able to remove is not considered to be mvatel unless you never plan on taking it. But something that you're not able to move, then just the fact that it's usher to move on Shabbos makes it mevutal for all of Shabbos, meaning that you cannot compare that which is muktzah to that which is not muktzah. If you have something that's not muktzah, even if you don't plan on removing it for the rest of Shabbos, that's not called batel. You have to never want to remove it from there. Anyway, answer number three, Rav Ashi Amar, Bayis Acharitz Karamis. How can you ask a stira between a situation where you're filling a house with straw versus filling a hole in the ground with straw? Bishlam Acharitz L'metam Yekai. Most of the time, if you have a hole in the ground, you want to fill it in. El Bayis L'metam Yekai. But a Bayis, you want to fill in the Bayis? No, you want to be able to use the house. So therefore, if you're going to be Mevatel something in the house, you need to say you're being mevatel something in the house. But to be mevatel that which is in the ground, you're filling a hole in the ground, you don't need to say it. That's stam, we assume you're being mevatel that which is in the ground. This comes up in the most unusual of places, this inyan of being mevatel dirt on the ground, or being mevatel something that which is asal ufanoso, ein asal ufanoso, comes up in a discussion about approaching the Kosel HaMa'aravi. There is a discussion in the poskim whether the Kotel, as we know it, is the Kotel of the Harabayis. It's a wall that blocks off the Harabayis, or it's a Kotel of the Azara. That it's one of the walls of the Azara, which would mean that when we're going to the Kotel Plaza, it's we're actually already on the Harabayis. Big nafkamina legabe tumen tahara. Someone who's tame meis is allowed on the Harabayis, but someone who has tuma ziva is not allowed on the Harabayis. So tame meis is not allowed into the Azara. So you have to be careful not to go into the Azara. So if it's a kosel of the Azara, so you're already on the Har HaBayis in the Kotel Plaza, so then someone who has Tumah Ziva, and Chazal Rugosa that in Amah Aretz has Tumah Ziva. So there's a discussion that Radvaz holds that it's the kosel of the Azara. All the later Achronim point out that's incorrect. It's just not true. It's the kosel of the Har HaBayis. It's not a kosel of the Azara. The Avnei Nezer says it's a Davar Pashut. Of course it's a kosel of the Har HaBayis, not a kosel of the Azara. So when the Radvaz visited you, when visited the old city, so he went with the author of the Sefer Binyan Ariel, and he wouldn't go anywhere near the Kotel because he didn't want to run afoul of that halacha. However, he then in the Sefer Beis Radvaz, he quotes the sheet of the Binyan Ariel and the Radvaz but he says, wait a second, but people do. So he says, Hanachlem l'bnei Yisrael imenem neviim heim b'nei neviim heim, that even if the Radvaz and the Binyan Ariel are correct that the Kosel Arbayis is the Kosel Azara, you're still allowed to stand there. Why? Because you're not standing on the ground level of the Har HaBayis. There's so many levels that were built up. They excavate, they keep finding more things underneath. There's so many levels. And it's us the Fenoso. He said, if you think about it, how could that be that you're on the Har HaBayis? You go down to the Kotel Plaza. He said, and the whole thing is off. They kept on building up and up and up and up. So some guy is going to be able to be Mevatel all that dirt there. So if it's us the Fenoso, and it it is also the Fenosik's Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to bring Gula, and we're going to rebuild things the way they're supposed to be built. So since it's also the Fenosik, it's not batel there forever. It's not considered part of the ground, and now you're elevated above the ground. And while it's true that Kedushas HaZara is Ola Ad LaRakia, and it could be that you're not allowed to take a helicopter ride over the Azara, but Kedushas HaRabayis is not Ola Ad LaRakia. That's how he's miyashev that practice. I mean, again, the Pashat Yishuv of the practice is that it's a coastal Arabayis. It's not a coastal of the Azara. Okay, so now it says in our Nasalav Neser Rachav Arba, if you put a plank that's four tefachim wide to bridge the two sides of that ditch, of that gap in between the Chatzeros, now they're allowed to make a single Erev. So Amar Avaloshanu is Nasal Rachbo. That's all that our Mishnah is talking about, where you run it across so you could walk right over the plank into the other Chatzer. Avala Arko, but if you run it along the length of the Chatzer, so it doesn't go all the way from one side to the other, but along the length of four tefachim, it minimizes the gap to being less than four tefachim. Then afilu kol shunami, then the plank doesn't have to be four tefachim. Shari miya tome arba'a. As long as along the length of four tefachim, it minimizes the gap to less than four tefachim. So now you have what's called a pesach, because a charetz of less than four tefachim is not considered a charetz at all. We don't view it as a gap between the chatzeros. So as long as you have one area of four tefachim where there is no gap, so then that's perfectly fine. And we also said if you have two ledges, two awnings that come out of two different houses, so that then you put a nesa rachav arba'a to connect them. Ma'arvim shnayim v'imratzu ma'arvim echad. You can make two eruvin separately, or you can make, or they can make an eruv jointly. So amar of a hada amar zu keneged zu ein zu keneged if zu keneged zu in zu shelo keneged zu lo. That's only if it's zu keneged zu. But if they're not exactly directly apart from each other, you have one that protrudes out further than the other, then it's not going to work to run a plank across, because the plank is going to have to be at an angle, and that's no good. Zulamalamizu anami, and even if one is there are different elevations, it also is not going to work. Lamar and elishiyesh bein zelazesh shlosha tefachim, avlein bein zelazesh shlosha gzustra akumahi, and that's only if there's less than three tefachim in between that. That's only if there's more than three tefachim in between them. But if they're not more than three tefachim apart from each other in height or in distance from each other, then if you have a four tefach wide plank that connects them, then it does work to connect them. We consider them to be one gezustra that's akuma. We view it as one ledge that just happens to be a bent ledge. But if they're more than three tefachim apart from each other, that's when we assume it's going to be problematic. So the Torah quotes paskins like Rashi that zu shelo keneged zu, a neser does not work, and he says that's because the neser is a pesach bekeren zavis, because it goes from one corner to the other corner. So the Taz is medayik from there that is dafka if the neser goes mi zavis zu lezavis shel zu, from the corner of one of the awnings to the corner of the other one. But if you put it in the middle of one of the gezustras and it goes to the corner of the other in a way that the plank runs straight, then it's going to be fine. The Eliyahu Rabbah writes that according to Rabbeinu Yonasan, a neser akum doesn't work. If it's a slanted neser, it doesn't work because a person's going to be afraid to walk on it. So then it doesn't matter. Meaning, as long as you put it in a way that's precarious and a person's going to be afraid to walk on it, that ultimately is going to be the problem. So Rashi writes, Zu shelo keneged zu, neser of arba'a is not going to be good enough. So Prima Gadim is medayik from Rashi that if it was very wide, let's say you made it so wide that it's not going to be, you're not going to be afraid to walk on it anymore, then even when it's zu shelo keneged zu, even if the two awnings are not directly across from each other, but you made the plank so wide that connects them that no one's going to be fearful of walking on it, so that's what the Prima Gadim says. In such a case, it's going to be mutter. Now says the Mishnah, what if what you have between the two chatzeros is not a classic mechitza, nor is it a charitz, nor is it a hole in the ground in between the two chatzeros, but you have something else that's mafsik between them. Mitvan shebein shtei chatzeros. You have a pile of teven between the two chatzeros. Gavoa asar tefachim. It happens to be 10 tefachim high. Marvin shayim vein marvin echad. That is a mechitza. Ve'elam achilim mikan. Ve'elam achilim mikan. And the bnei achatzar of each side can bring their animals to eat off of that pile of hay. Ve'elam achilim mikan. Nismayin a teven me'asar tefachim. If the pile gets lower than 10 tefachim, tefachim, because they keep feeding their animals out of that pile, then ma'arvin echad, vein ma'arvin shnayim. Now you no longer have a mechitza, so now they can only make a single eruv. They're not allowed to make two separate eruvin. What does it mean? Eilu machilim lekan, veilu machilim lekan. They can each feed their animals. So Rashi says that we're not choshesh that it's going to become nisma'it me'asara and asr the chatzeros on each other, because how much do the animals eat in a single Shabbos? So we're saying on Shabbos, even though you're relying on this as a mechitza to divide your chatzeros, and therefore you made two separate eruvin chatzeros, so you could still feed the animals off of this pile, and you don't have to worry that it's going to be lower than 10 tefachim, and now you're not going to have a wall between your chatzeros either. So the Achronim raised the question that if that's the case, the heter should only be for the first Shabbos that the animals began to eat. Ultimately, cumulatively, it will have an effect if you keep on feeding the animals, meaning you say it's not matzoi, Rashi says not matzoi in Shabbos achas, that it's going to lower it to below 10 tefachim. But in many Shabbos house, of course it's matzoi, that it will get to lower than 10 tefachim. So the Lashon Hazav suggests that Rashi means that the heter is only calls man, that it's not nismait me'asara at all. Then we're not choshesh that it's going to be nismait me'asara baruch of eser amos. Meaning the only problem would be if you have a gap of 10 amos that where it's lower than 10 tefachim of wall. Because then we say it's no longer a pesach, and now it's just one big chatzer. And now your eruv is going to be invalid because it's nifratz l'makom asula. But if it went below 10 tefachim at a length of an amma, two amos, that's a pesach. When you have a pesach, you could have made two eruv, you could have made one eruv, but two eruvin works also when you have a pesach shemein shtei chatzer. So that wouldn't be a problem. So that, says Lashon Hazav, you would be alerted to, you would realize. Meaning if when Shabbos starts, the entire wall is 10 tefachim high, you have no concern that animals are going to eat so much that you'll have 10 amos, that's less than 10 tefachim high by the time Shabbos ends. But if when Shabbos starts, you see that there are parts of the wall that are lower than 10 tefachim, that's when you should stop feeding your animals from there on Shabbos. The Rashi writes that we're talking about that when we say nismait atav me'asar tefachim, marv nechvei marv shnayim, that if it goes below 10 tefachim, so then you make one error. Rashi points out, it's got to be talking about that it was nismait during the week, right? Tosrid points out, why is Rashi saying that? Because an Erev happens on Erev Shabbos. So obviously we're talking about that it was Nisma'it during the week. Okay, so says the Gemara now. We said, don't worry about it. You could feed your animals off of this pile, even though you're relying on this pile as a mechitza, because it's not going to go below 10 tefachim. Animals aren't going to eat that much. Yeah, that's if you're just feeding your animals. But if you keep stuffing your bags and your pockets and everything with more tevin, that's going to be a problem. So that you're not allowed to do. So from Rav Huna, it sounds like there's Nisus Rabbanan to take from the matvein in order to give to your behema. And when the Mishnah says that you're allowed to be machil your behema, it means to bring the behema to the pile and let them eat from it. So you see that the Mishnah is allowing you to be mamid your behema right there to eat from it. And we're not choshesh that while you're doing that, you might take it by hand and start feeding them, which would be an isser midrabanan. So we're not concerned that you're going to violate that isser. So says Gemara, uluk meshari. Wait a second, is that allowed? You're allowed to stand your animal right by a pile of straw in order that the animal should eat from it, a pile of hay in order that the animal should eat from it, and we're not worried that you're going to start stuffing the food in your animal's face. You could put your animal next to asavim, meaning that which is attached to the ground still on Shabbos, and let the animal eat off of the ground. But you're not allowed to put your animal next to that which is muktzah on Shabbos and allow it to eat from that which is muktzah. Why? What's the difference? By a seven that are attached to the ground, what am I concerned about? That you're going to start pulling things out of the ground? So this is d'oraisa. You would never come to do that. I don't have to be choshesh you're going to do that. But muktzah is only d'rabanan. So I have to be choshesh. If you bring your animal there, you might start feeding it. So how come elu machilim mikan ve'elu machilim mikan in our Mishnah, shouldn't I be choshesh that since it's only nisim d'rabanan, that you might come come to remove, you might come to take some with your hand. So it says Gemara, you're not actually putting your behemah right there, you're just blocking your behemah from going somewhere else. That you stand in the path of the animal, and then the animal on its own goes to the matvein and eats from there. So that the chum were not so machmir about ta'aser such a case. Tosfos raises the question, if you're not allowed to be mamid your behemah on the matvein, why does Rav Huna say that it's aser litul biyadayim, and to put it in a box and to put it in your pockets, and to, why doesn't the Rav Huna, if Rav Huna wants to say a chiddush, right, he wants to say, oh, not, we don't allow everything over here, shouldn't he have said you're not even allowed to be mamid your behemah there, you just have to sort of block its path so that it goes there on its own? So Tosfos points out that if Rav Huna would have said that, then I wouldn't have known the reason for the issur of being mamid the behemah. I wouldn't have known that there's an issur to take from the matvim diyadayim, meaning and therefore, if Huna wants to tell me that you're not allowed to take biyadayim, and now I know that that's why you're not allowed to be mamid your behemah there, because then I have a chashash that you're going to take it biyadayim. So he had to tell me that there's such an issur that exists. I never would have known that there's an issur that exists of taking biyadayim if he only would have said, I'm not allowed to be mamid my behemah there. So we said that you're not allowed to put, Rav Huna said you're not allowed to put tevin in your box. So says Gemara, well, is that true? We have a brisa ba'ish bin shtei chatzeros milo tevin. If you have a house that's between two chatzeros, and there are houses from two chatzeros that open up into it, milo tevin ma'arv, and you fill that ba'is with tevin ma'arvin shtayim vein ma'arvin echad. Each chatzer can make their own independent area, but they cannot join through that house. Zeh, the guy who owns the house that's open to the ba'is that's between two chatzeros, so nosin l'tok kupaso v'yachil, he can take tevin and feed it to his animal. The zeh and the other guy that owns the other house from another chatzer, nosin to kubaso v'yachil, he can also take tevin from that house in between and be machil. Mismait ha tevin me'asar tefachim shneim asurim. But once the tevin goes dips below ten tefachim, now neither of them are allowed to be motzi and machnis from their house to that house, because now it's like a chatzer that has two houses open up into it, and there's no eruv. So ketzadu osa, how are you matir them to be metaltal at all? So Noel is beso. He locks off his house that's open between the two chatzeros. So mevatel's reshuso, and he's mevatel's reshus in that house. And once he does that, who usher? He's not allowed to take things in and out of that house to his chatzer, because he's mevatel's reshus in the chatzer. And now the bias is in Rishus Chavero, and therefore Chavero Mutter. V'chein ata omer begov shel tevin shebein shnei tchumei Shabbos. And just like this bias between two chaseros is mutter for the people who live in the chaseros to fill up a box from the tevin that's in this house, then you would say the same thing if you have a wide bar that's made to store tevin that's between two tchumei Shabbos, that half of this bar is in one tchum, in the tchum of one city, and half of this bar is in the tchum of the other city, so we don't have to be choshish, and each one is going to take from the straw that's in the other one's tchum. Each one can fill up from their side. Why are we quoting all this? Katani mihas, it says in this braisa, zenosin toch kupaso v'yachil, zenosin toch kupaso v'yachil, that even though we're concerned about being mimayit this pile of tevin that's in this house below ten tfachim, they're not only permitted to allow their animals to eat from it, they're allowed to fill up boxes. They can fill their pockets and fill up their boxes and fill up their... So Amri, bias, kiven de'ika, tikra, kimifkas, minkra, lamilsa. Hacha, laminkra, lamilsa. No, everyone knows the rules. Everyone knows you cannot allow the pile to get less than 10 tfachim. So when the pile is in a bias, you can always see the distance between the top of the pile and the ceiling. So you'll be alerted and you'll know, you'll see it going down too much. So even if you're filling up boxes with it, we're not concerned that it's going to dip below 10 tfachim, because you would notice the gap and you wouldn't allow it to get to that point. But if it's just out in the open, we're concerned you may not notice the gap, and you will allow it to get to that point. It's going to be more problematic. Then now we just go on to discuss each of the other lines in the Braisa. If the tevin is less than 10 tfachim, then they're both going to be asur. Ha'asar is shari. Sounds like if it's exactly 10 tfachim, then it's mutter. Even though the ceiling is way above where the top of the tevin is. This goes back to Sugui Harindafayin Vase, where the mechitzos, Shemagil Satikra, count as mechitzos. Apparently, they do count as mechitzos. mechitzos. According to Beis Hillel, they don't. So how can we say against Beis Hillel? Samar Abaye, Hacha Babaye Shlosha Asur Chasur Mashu Askinan. No, we're talking about the whole bias is less than 13 tefachim tall. The Tevin Asara. So if you have a pile of Tevin that's 10 tefachim high, it is Magia Latikra. It reaches within Lavud of the ceiling. Rav Huna Breda Rishua, Amar Afilu Tevin Babaye Asara. It could even be that the whole bias is only 10 tefachim. Tevin Shivo Mashu, the pile of Tevin is 7 and a little bit tefachim. It's called Pax Mishlosha Kalavadami. And as long as it's less than 3 tefachim from the top of the ceiling, so then it's considered Lavud and it is considered Magia Latikra. Well, Bishlam Abaye, Hainu Diktani Me'asara. I understand according to Abaye, we say that if the pile of Tevin dips below 10 tefachim, so that's when you're going to have a problem because it's now not Magia Latikra, which is 13 tefachim. According to Rav Hunderbrei Rav Shua, that all bias is only 10 tefachim, and therefore the pile of Tevin only needs to be 7 and change. My Me'asara, why does it say that it's Nivchas Me'asara? Even if it's allowed to be Nivchas Me'asara, it just can't be Nivchas from 7 and change. So no, mitoras asara. When it means to say, when it says asara, it means from the status of asara, that together with lavud, it should equal asara. And then we mentioned in the Brisa, shnei nasunin, that if the tevin is nismayit from asara tefachim, they're both asur. Shramna diurin aban b'shabbos asurin. So we see that people who come and are new diurin in a chatzar on Shabbos, they ask it to be metaltal on the Shabbos. And we don't say that since it was mutter to be metaltal on that chatzar when Shabbos started, before these diurim came, so it remains mutter for the remainder of Shabbos. So says Gemara, Dilma di imat me etmal. No, maybe the diurim that come on Shabbos do not aser. When the Brisa says that nismayit hateven, now everything becomes aser. It means nismayit hateven before Shabbos started. If it already became mutter, maybe nismayit hateven on Shabbos is not going to create an iser. So Ketzad will say, how are you matir each at least one of them to use the house that's between these two chaseros? So he said, no, let's pay. So one guy closes off his house that opens up into the middle house, umevatel rishuso, and he's mevatel his rishus that he has in that house that's between the two chatzeros. So Tarti, he needs to do both of those things. Why does he have to do both of those things? Once he's no alas beso, isn't that a gilui das that he's being mevatel rishus in the house that's on the other side of that lock? So obviously, if he's not locking off his house, that's what he's doing. So hachkamer, oh no alas beso, oh mevatel rishuso. No, it means we're giving him options. He could do one or the other. Either be no alas beso or explicitly be mevatel rishus. Or maybe he actually does need to do both. He needs to do a very clear bitul rishus, and not only in words but in action as well. Because since he's always uses that house, if he only locks up the house, we might be choshish and come to be metaltel from his bias to that bias. So we need to make sure that he does both of these things. So he said, "Who aser b'chaver mutar?" Once he's mevatel rishus, then he's not allowed to be metaltel there, but his friend is. So pshita. Of course, that's the din of bitul rishus, that you lose rights and everybody else still does have rights. So lo tzricha dahadar idach ubatal lechavre. Now the chiddush is that the other guy then went and was mevatel back to you. And what it's teaching us is that you can't do that. That was another sugya we had earlier on, that you're not allowed to be mevatel lechazer mevatel. Once Reuven is mevatel to Shimon, that's the way it stays. Shimon cannot then turn around and be mevatel rishus back to Reuven. Then we said, and the same is true, if you have a big bar full of Tevin, and half of the bar is in the Tchum of one city, and the other half is in the Tchum of the other city, either city can fill in from the part that's in their Tchum. So Pshita, of course they can. They're within their Tchum Shabbos. What would be the problem? So Lo Tzricha L'Rabbi Akiva, Da'amar Tchum and Da'araisa. Now we're assuming like Shita's Rabbi Akiva, who holds that Tchum Shabbos is a Din Da'araisa. So Ma'ad Tehme L'Gzadum L'Asil L'Chlufei. I might think that since we're playing with the Daraisa over here, I might have to make a Gzera Midrabanan, that even if I'm filling from my side, which is within my Tchum, that I might come to fill from the other side that's not in my Tchum. So Kamash Milan, that we don't make any such Gzera Midrabanan, even according to Rabbi Kiva. Where does Rabbi Kiva know the Tchum Daraisa? So we've mentioned this before, the Mishnah and Sota and Daf Chav Zayin and Beis has a Machlokas Tanam, how to interpret the Psukim about Arei Halavim, because the Psukim by Arei Halavim tell us about a 1,000 Ame area around the Ariel Vim and about a 2,000 Ame area around the Ariel Vim. And the Pasuk right before that was, Elef Amma Saviv. So Rabbi Akiva says, yeah, the Midrash Ari Alevim is Elef Amma, but Tchum Shabbos is Alpayim Amma. So you see that there's a din of Tchum Shabbos on a Daraisa level. Whereas the other Tanaim say, no, there's nothing to do with Tchum Shabbos. There's a 2,000 Amma area around the Ari Alevim where you don't, when we say Midrash is 1,000 Ammas, of those 2,000 Ammas that every Ir Halevim has around it, you need to leave 1,000 Ammas, not even planted with anything. Totally open area. That's all it's telling us. Okay, new Mishnah now. Ketzam Mishtafen B'mavoi. Something we probably should have discussed at some point earlier, it seems. How do you do a Shituvei Mavuos? What do you do exactly? And by the way, the Rishonim point out over here, the Ritva points out, this is also a how do you do an Erev Chatzeros. It's just telling us, even a Shituvei Mavuos you could do this way. Meaning, of course everyone can contribute a box of, you know, a little bit of matzah to the box of matzahs. You want to do it easier. You don't want to have to knock on every door in the whole entire neighborhood and get everyone to contribute. So you want to be mezakeh for them. So in the chatzer, everyone's friends, so mistama, everyone knows each other, it's a smaller area, of course you could be mezakeh for them. The Mishnah wants to tell me a greater chiddush, says it's very swell, that even in Shituvei Mavuos, you have a whole community, you don't even know everybody, you could even be mezakeh for them. So how do you do it? Maniach ha-sachavis, you take the barrel of wine, or peros, or whatever, va'omer, harezu l'kol b'nei mavui. You say, this now belongs to all the b'nei mavui, and someone makes a kinyan on behalf of all of them. So who does that? U'mezakeh lehen, ayidei b'no Ivrim. You do your mezakah to them through b'no bito agadolim. It has to be your adult children, or avdo v'shivchaso ivrim, or your evad or shivchos an ivrim, meaning someone who's not an extension of you. It has to be someone who's external to you to make the kinyan on behalf of everybody else, because you can't be both the makna and the kona. So you need someone who's not you. Va'al yedei ishto, or your wife, aval enu mezakah lo yedei b'no bito aktanim, but it does not work to use your young children, because they're just an extension of you. So says the Gemara, Amra Yuda Chavishal Shitufei Mavuos, Tzarech Labia Minakarka Tefach. When you're doing this, you need to lift it off a tefach from the ground, because if you don't do that, then it's still in the Rosh Hashanah, and you didn't do a kinyan for the other B'nai Mavuos. So we do this. We take a box of matzahs each year, and we have someone make a kinyan on behalf of everybody in the community. So the rabbi can't just take the box of matzahs. We actually do our own separate one here in North Woodmere, because we have a cutoff on the Eruv, so in case the Eruv goes down in the rest of the five towns, we want to make sure that we're still covered. So we do a Zikra with the box of matzos. It used to be that Larry Cohen used to be the one to do it, Zichron Levracha. Now whoever's around on Erev Pesach, I'll have to do. But so says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Hani Tarti Mili Sabi Dupam Bedisa Amrinu. These are the two chidushin that the Sabi Dupam Bedisa said. Chadaha, one that you need to be magbiya tefach when you make the Shituvim Mavuos, and Idach, HaMakadish, and Toa, Melo Lugmav Yatzah, Vimlav, Lo Yatzah. That when a person says Kiddush, they have to be Toa, Melo Lugmav. So the Gemara is going to tell us the Gemara is going to bring two more things that the Sabi Dupam Bedisa taught us, but even the idea of Makadish, Melo Lugmav, Yatza, Mlav Lo Yatza, it's not clear if that means a Melo Lugma Mamish, which may be larger than a Revius, probably means something smaller. There are three Shitos in Rishonim. Rav Amram Gon, Rav Tzemach Gon are quoted by the Rishonim, quoted by the Beis Yosef, that the Shir Shtia from the Yayin of Kiddush is a Revius. Rov Rishonim hold it's Kimelo Lugmav, meaning if you were to move all of it to one side of your mouth, and it looks like Melo Lugmav, which is less than a Revius, meaning not to actually fill your cheeks, but on one side of the mouth where it looks like your cheek is full, that would be good enough. And the Rav Yah writes in the name of his father that you only need to drink a little bit of the Kiddush wine, that it could moisten your throat a little bit, and the tam of the yayin fills melo lugma, fills all of your cheeks, that you taste it throughout your mouth, but it doesn't really have to be a cheek full. So okay, maybe we'll discuss that tomorrow, maybe not, but Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll at least continue with the other statements of the Sabi, the Pumbedisa. Have a great day, everyone.